I saw something on the way to church, kind of think will fit in with what I'd like to introduce this evening. I was driving here, and over by Carterville, there's this place along the highway that has an empty lot. I think they have they work on some forklifts and stuff. Oh, I'm not sure what kind of business it is. There's some place of business there, and they have a fence around it, and it's a gravel parking lot, and there's still quite a bit of snow on that. And at first I thought somebody had left the roadway. The road was clear and dried this morning, but I looked over there in the lot, and there's this car that was tangled up in that fence. Looked like about tore a wheel off. Two younger fellas getting out of the car and act like they was okay. And then I realized that what they were probably doing was in that parking lot sliding around on all that snow, and they just slid around too much. And so what I've been thinking about is being led by the Spirit, and an experience of being sanctified, and how sometimes it's hard for us to grasp how does that really work. But it doesn't start out that way. It starts out with us getting a understanding of the basics and having a vision of being pleasing to the Lord and being acceptable in His sight. And it progresses to the point that we're able to understand what His will is and hear His voice and respond in a timely fashion to that. So I'd like to use as an illustration parallel parking. Y'all, as far as I know, as far back in driving testing that I'm aware of, part of the driving test is to parallel park. So if you have a road and alongside the road there's cars parked and there's an empty space, and you drive along to parallel park, the first step is to pull up here beside that car, and you want to be as even front to back as you possibly can to start. And they tell you to turn your wheels to the right, and you start backing in like this, and when the front wheels get equal to, I can't remember if it's the rear wheels on the other car or the bumper, when your vehicle comes back to about this part far, you're supposed to turn your wheels the other way. I don't know if you can see my little picture there, but you turn the wheels to the left, and it's just supposed to go in there. You straighten the wheels up and pull forward just a little bit, and you're stopped. That's a perfect parallel park. Well, one of the boys, or one of the fellas I worked with, had me to look at this video of this fella that was coming from the other direction. They had these cars all lined up in just enough space. It was closer than we would parallel park, but this fellow was coming from this direction, and when he got over here close, he spun that car around and hit the park brake and slid that car in like that. And when he got done, he stepped out of the car, and you couldn't walk between his car and the car in front and back. And he never touched anything. Now, that's kind of like those fellas that slid into the post this morning. They hadn't practiced enough. And there is something, maybe you ladies don't relate to this, but there's something about spinning tires and sliding in a vehicle that guys just, they get some kind of charge out of that. And it's something about that sensation of thinking you're in control when really you're not. That guys, they seem to think that's the thing to do. Because if you notice, they like to slide a lot. They like to spin around and all of that. Well, I'd just like to talk about the conventional parallel parking tonight. You've got to know where to pull up to. You got to know how close to be to the other car, space to the side of you. And you got to know which way to turn the wheels to start that process. So I'd like to turn to Ezekiel, the 40th chapter, and read a few verses here and paint a little picture just about the conventional parallel parking. Chapter 40, verse 1, beginning, it says, "In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither." So Ezekiel speaking here, he was some of those that had been carried off captive by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon, or in the land of Babylon, not specifically the city. And he said that they'd been there for quite a while, 25th year of their captivity, 14 years after the city was completely destroyed. Maybe it's 25 years after the first group had been taken in captivity. So he said the Lord came upon him. Verse 2, it says, "In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south." So he said, in my mind, the vision I had was the Lord took me into the land of Israel. That's where he come from, wasn't it? Ever had a dream about 25 years ago? Some of you can't quite do that yet, but I've had dreams about what it was like 25 years ago. You probably have too. It says, "He brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, and a line of flax in his hand, and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate." So he's seeing this in his dream, in a vision. "And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thy heart upon all that I shall show thee. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee art thou brought hither." The reason you're having this dream is so you would get an understanding. The reason that I'm showing this to you is so you would gain some knowledge here. He says, "Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. And behold, a wall on the outside of the house round about, and a man's hand measuring reed, and in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubits long by a cubit, and a hand breadth." So he measured the breadth of the building, 1 reed, and the height, 1 reed. So I'm going to stop there because there's a whole lot of measurements. And if you read the rest of this chapter and the rest of the next chapter, it's nothing but measurements of the size of this and the size of that. So, it's a vision. And I think he was remembering in his vision just how big the temple looked like and what the city looked like and how big it was and how tall it was and its appearance. And you know, it's important for us to know what the temple looks like. It's important for us to have an understanding. And if we turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 19th verse, it tells us what the temple is. And I'd like for us to remember that when we're looking at this temple, he intends for us to know what we ought to be looking at and how it ought to look and what the dimensions are. It says in 6 and verse 19, he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So it's important, I believe, for us to have a vision of what we're supposed to look like when we profess to be a Christian. We need to know how to parallel park the right way. You can't come from this direction and just turn in like this unless there's a lot of extra space or you have a really, really little car. You just can't do that. To park correctly, you have to pull forward and you have to turn your wheels and you have to back in at the right and turn your wheels at the right time to be able to get the car to go, your vehicle, whatever you're driving, to get it to go into the parking spot and be able to pull forward and complete your parking maneuver. That's probably the most challenging portion of our driving test. I remember being very thankful that my dad had a little Toyota Corolla when I turned 16, and I asked my dad to borrow his car so I could go take my driver test in his little yellow Toyota. And the other car was a big Chrysler Newport, and it was probably twice the size of my dad's little Toyota. So I'm glad that my dad had the small car. It made my driving test a whole lot easier. And it's important for us, what I'm saying here, to know the dimensions, to know what's it supposed to look like? Is it supposed to look different than the world around us? I think all of us here would probably say, yes, it does. It looks different. It sounds different. It tastes different. So let's go to Micah 6 and 8. And we won't belabor the point too much, but Micah 6 and 8, you remember, it's a familiar verse. He says here, "He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." The Lord has, I think all of us here have been around Christianity long enough. We've been around what we know as the Church of God long enough. We have a level of understanding of what is to be expected of us. Had some messages here a while back about standards. The standard is holiness, and we have a picture in our mind of what holiness is. So there are some fundamental, rudimentary components of what Christianity looks like. And let's go now to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. He says here in Micah, he showed you what it's supposed to look like. And I think all of us here have a picture in our mind. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." So that's our purpose. That's what we ought to do. But he says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, Let it not be once named among you as become a saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So, we have some distinct measurements, if you will. Just like Ezekiel had a vision and he saw the man with the reed, he began to measure, and so many reeds and a this way and a hand's breadth and a cubit and all that. We know that you can't be a Christian and a whoremonger at the same time. We know that. You're one or the other, but you're not both. It's very simply. You want a parallel park? You pull up to the side of the car, you turn your wheels to the right, and you begin to back up. And as you begin to back up, at the right moment, you turn your wheels the other way, and you back into the slot. We know there. This is where we start when we're walking with the Lord. We're convicted of maybe this filthiness of the flesh. We're convicted of something, and we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to know how to park. I want to know how to do it the right way. And he cleans up our heart, and he gives us new purpose. He cleans the slate, and we leave from that experience or that time in our life, we leave with an understanding of this is how you do it. You pull up to the side, you turn your wheel. You get my thought here? We know that. But when we see someone that says, the Lord showed me something, the Lord revealed something to me, and we feel and recognize, I want to be careful about using the word feel, but we recognize that the Spirit of the Lord and His anointing is on their life and what they're doing. We know that's something more than just staying away from the things that's mentioned here. We know it's something more than the basic parallel parking. When we see somebody that comes from the other direction and they slide their vehicle around and slip it into that parking spot without crashing, if I tried to do parallel park like that, my experience would be, I'm just real confident, my experience would be like these fellows that slid into this fence this morning. I would slide around all right, but I don't know which end of my vehicle would be pointed which way. And more than likely, I'm going to be in contact with some other cars. And I know that if by chance that I slid it in there, someone would come and say, how did you do that? Right? I want to know sometimes, this fella, this wasn't the first time he done that in that particular spot, because in the little video clip that somebody showed me, there is black rubber marks on the pavement there. Well, this fella had been sliding into one spot over and over and over. They'd been practicing this maneuver probably hundreds of times. And they probably were practicing it with plastic cones set up before they put the cars in place. And when they got it to where that he could slide it in there within, it had to be within a half inch. I'm telling you, you couldn't hardly stuck a tube before between his bumper and the car in the front and the back. It was that tight. I don't know how they did it. And spiritually speaking, we look on someone that the Spirit of the Lord is working in their life, and we say, I don't know how that works like that. Because we know to stay away from things that are not like God. And we know there's things that we ought to do. But when it comes to this other maneuver, we're not in a position to do that. But I think all of us have this question in our mind, how'd they do that? How'd they know that God wanted them? We all saw the effects. I saw the effects of this fellow parallel parking like that. Wouldn't advise anybody trying that the first time around, but I saw the end result, and it was impressive. And I've witnessed those in my own life that the Lord has had their hand on, had his hand on, and the Lord's blessings has been on their life. And I want to know, how did they know when to sit down and when to stand up? How do they know that's what the Lord wants them to do? How do they get that understanding? Where did they get that revelation? It's gone. It's more than just knowing the dimensions of the temple. It's more than just knowing that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's more than just doing justly and loving mercy and walking humbly with my God. Oh, those are all factors, and we can't overstep those. We can't ever forget that. It's more than knowing I must abstain from all uncleanness and all covetousness, and not let it be named once among me, once among us. But there is another level that the Lord wants to take us to. And I'd like to leave that with us tonight. I'll test your memory. Come back, Lord willing, Sunday, and we'll talk some more about that. But I'd like for us to think about our parking maneuver. How do we approach this? Is it just that I only know I can't do this and I can do that? I need to stay away from this and I need to do this over here. There is a place above that that the Lord wants us to. You remember what Jesus said? He said, I do always the things that please him or that please his Father. How was he able to say that? How did he get to that place? How do we get to the place where we can have that confidence that I'm in God's will? That was part of the message this morning that was shared with us. How do I know this is God's will at this time, at this place? How do I know this is the direction the Lord is leading me? You know, if somebody says to me, God showed me, not a whole lot I can say. I mean, if I don't feel like they're right, the only thing I could say is, you serve a different God than I do. But that's not very effective. It becomes very combative, doesn't it? We need to know, how do we get the mind of the Lord? How do we know how to be consecrated to the point and be, it looks like, somebody says they trust the Lord for something, fully and completely, taking their hands off. Well, it looks like to a lot of people that it's sliding out of control, doesn't it? I've seen a lot of things that look like they were sliding out of control, and yet the Lord brought honor to his name through it. So I'd like for us to pick this up again. Take it home. Think about it. There's a higher level than just knowing the dimensions. There's a higher level than just knowing how to maneuver to parallel park. I'm not suggesting that we pick a spot and start practicing our sliding parking maneuver, but I want us to keep that in mind as we go about this week, and Lord willing, we'll pick this up Sunday. You pray for me.